In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. So today we'll try to talk about something which is a little bit unusual. A concept which is known as violent repentance. A repentance which is so violent. And listening to the gospel, if you listen to the gospel, you're probably wondering, what exactly has this got to do with the sermon? What has violent repentance got to do with a paralytic man that is lowered through a roof? So let's have a look at the story. So a group of friends of some man who was paralytic, so a man that couldn't walk, a man that likely couldn't have used his arms or his legs, was taken by his friends and they tried to come into a house. And they could not come near him because of the crowd. So they couldn't go through the doors. They couldn't get anywhere near him. Christ was in a house. He was preaching. The house was so packed that the doors were probably closed shut by people's presence. Probably the windows even. People were sitting through the windows. And so they couldn't get anywhere near him. The house was busting at the doors. And yet, who was the one that was healed? Was it the ones that were sitting right next to Christ? The ones that were listening to his words? We have no record. Maybe they were healed, we don't know. But we have no record of them being healed. The only person we have a record of being healed is the paralytic. And so then his friends try to get in and they can't get in through the easy way. They can't go in through the doors. They can't go through the windows. They can't get in at all. And so what they decide to do then is not give up. Not give up. They were seeking healing. Whereas us generally we give up. They decided, no, we're not going to give up. And instead, their action becomes more radical. And they go and climb a roof, up to the roof, with this guy that is in a stretcher. So imagine now the scene. They didn't have an electric lift that could lift the body up. They had a guy that was paralyzed, that couldn't move at all, in a stretcher with four men trying to climb up a roof. Have you ever tried to climb up a first floor building? It's not easy. It's not easy. Even if there's stairs there, with a man that's in a stretcher, it is not easy. And so their action becomes more radical. But it doesn't stop there. It says when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. How do you uncover the roof? And it says when they had broken through. And so if you look at those words, you don't just take apart a roof. How would you take apart your roof? You'd have to take off tiles after tiles. Strip off a bit of the covering, whatever, the aluminium, whatever they use to cover the roof. Make a hole and then lower him. And it's not a small hole. It's a hole that can fit a human being on a stretcher. So you're talking about a 2 meter by a 0.5 meter, 1 meter opening. And so the action is radical. They remove the roof. Can you imagine you're the person that owns that house, looking up and seeing them making a hole in your roof? And you're wondering, I really hope it doesn't rain today. And so the action implies some violence, a tearing away, a breaking through in the roof, literally tearing away the roof. To get to Christ, a violent action was required. At one point in Christ's ministry, he said some very, very strange words in Matthew 11:12. He says this, "From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, those words can be understood in two different ways. One way is the idea that the kingdom of God is being violently afflicted by its champions, Jesus and John, being murdered. But the way that almost all of the fathers took it is in a very, very different way. And the image comes from something that Christ uses from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was this idea, or one of the Jewish commentaries in the Old Testament, there was this idea that a shepherd, when he comes to guard his sheep or his flock at night, he couldn't just leave them in the open air because the wolves would come and get them, someone would come and steal the sheep. So what he would do is, he'd erect like a makeshift fence with some stones, some rocks, some pieces of wood, some timber, whatever he could find. And then he'd make it go round just enough to cover everything but 2 meters. And then the front of the 2 meters, he would lie there himself as a door to the sheepfold, okay? And then he'd put all the sheep inside, and he would stand at the door. And so for the sheep to get out, they would have to go through him. In one very interesting commentary in the Old Testament, one of the Jewish rabbis says this. He says, as the shepherd is lying there at the door, One of the sheep gets a bit edgy, gets a bit asabi, gets a bit irritated. And so he charges at the fence instead of going through the shepherd. And he keeps hitting it with his head and ramming it with his head and ramming it with the head. Every now and then breaking off a bit of stone, breaking off a bit of wood. Until eventually he gets through the gate, through the fence. And then after they've seen that person get through the fence, all the other sheep charge through after him. Okay? Now what has this got to do with John? Why would this be something that's related to John? What does John preach? What does John preach? He goes up and down the countryside saying one word. What's that one word? Repent. Repent. And then what happens after he says repent? What are people doing? Repenting. People are entering the River Jordan repenting. So John the Baptist breaks through the fence violently through violent repentance. And after him follow the rest of the sheep. That was the way that all of the church fathers unanimously, and you know the church fathers almost never agree on biblical verses, the meaning of biblical verses, all in one voice. They always have different opinions. But here they have one opinion about this verse of Jesus. The kingdom of God has suffered violence and the violence take it by force. All of the church fathers understood this to mean violent repentance. A repentance so violent, so radical, almost so heated, so intense, that even the gates of the kingdom of heaven can't withstand it. They can't hold it back. St. Clement of Alexandria says this. He says, this is the one time when violence is acceptable and commendable. It's the one time that violence is acceptable and commendable. And he goes on and says, and actually, God loves to be vanquished and conquered by this type of violence. God makes himself vulnerable for this type of violence. For repentance that is so violent that it takes the kingdom by force. There's a very interesting story in the Desert Fathers about actually a desert mother by the name of Saint Taisia, or Paisia, depending on what language you want to talk about her. She was a prostitute and she was a Christian previously. And so one of the Desert Fathers by the name of Paphnutius heard about her. And so he went and got someone to give him a gold coin. And he went to the city, to the marketplace. And he found her with her veil, had herself adorned with her makeup and her earrings and whatever else she had on. And he said to her, look what I have. I've got a gold coin. She said, come with me. And she took him into her house. She was a prostitute, a harlot. She took him to the house. And as soon as he walked in, he goes, here, I've bought your time. Now listen to me. Now listen to me. And he spoke to her about the kingdom of God and spoke to her about repentance and spoke about the love of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ. And she repented. And then he said, all right, tonight we'll escape. We'll leave this brothel and we'll leave together. And as they went outside and they just went outside the city walls, they started walking in the desert, nighttime came. And so what St. Paphnutius did was he drew in the sand a huge circle over here, and about 15 meters away, he drew another huge circle in the sand. And he said, I will sleep within this circle, you sleep within that circle. And in the morning, we'll continue our path towards a monastery or a convent. In the morning, he woke up and went to wake her up, and she had died. She had passed away. And so St. Paphnutius says in the story, he screamed at God. What are you doing? This woman was a prostitute. She's turned. She could have been a beautiful nun. Now you kill her the second that she comes and turns to you. What kind of God are you? How is that acceptable? And then he heard an incredible word, some incredible words from heaven. As he was screaming at God, he heard the words, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. She had done enough. Her repentance was so violent, so radical, it was enough to bust into the kingdom of heaven. She broke doors down the doors of the kingdom of heaven. That was enough. The same thing happens for the thief on the right-hand side of the cross. His repentance is so radical, so violent, it's enough. It doesn't need a lifetime to follow it. So what then, if I have 20 years in my life, 30 years, 5 years, 50 years, if I start to repent radically every day, what kind of effect would that have on the kingdom of heaven? What kind of effect would that have on the kingdom of heaven? Will that not mean Christ, who makes his kingdom vulnerable for our sakes, who is happy and commends this type of violence and is happy to be conquered by us? Does that not mean that somehow we taste heaven every day? That we break into heaven every single day? So the one that was healed, the paralytic man, required this violent action. He required to break through heaven. He required to go up on the roof. And if you look at this story, you might think that the man was actually doing nothing. The paralytic man was doing nothing, that he was passive. But actually, think about it. Imagine you are that paralytic. Imagine that you can't walk, you can't use your hands, you can't use your feet, you're on a stretcher, and then some of your friends come to you and say, "We're going to carry you up onto a roof." You said, "But guys, like, it's not very safe. You're going to turn me at a 45 degree angle as you go up the stairs. Like, I could slip off. We haven't exactly got any kind of harnesses on." And then they take you up and say, "No, no, we're going to take you up onto the roof, then we're going to break open the roof, and we're going to drop you through that roof." There's a risk involved here. The paralytic could not soften his fall. He couldn't land and position himself. He could easily fall through. There's no safety harness. And on top of that, it's an act which is embarrassing. Imagine you're a paralytic. You can't move. You can't walk. You probably haven't showered properly because you're a paralytic. You probably have a bit of a smell about you. And then they say to you, "We're going to open the roof and drop you through into this house which is completely packed, which is so full that no one can even get into the house." It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It requires a risk. It requires an action which is so violent, so radical, that Christ himself cannot but resist in healing us. The second thing that I want to see about this particular story in the violent repentance is that repentance in this story is a movement. Healing is a movement. Four friends come and take the man that is being healed into the roof. Four friends. So it's a movement. We saw in the story in the Old Testament where there's the sheep breaking through the gates. What happens when one sheep breaks through with a violent action? The rest of the sheep follow. It starts a movement. It goes beyond me. So that means my repentance, when it's violent, has an effect that carries well beyond me. It affects my family. It affects my wife, my husband, my children, my parents, my friends. It affects thousands around me. Father Jacob Abuniub once said, on one occasion he found that his service wasn't growing. His service was going very, very cold. He was struggling, people and repenting. His heart was cold. Everything just wasn't going well in the church. And so he said, at that point, I had to do something. But I didn't call a meeting. I didn't look for a new method and listen to sermons and go and study and learn and this and that about business management. I didn't make an analysis and get the lagda together. Because I did one thing. I repented. And you could think, what has the repentance of one person got to do with the service of an entire church? But it does. The repentance somehow, mystically, yet in a way that is much more real, even in the way that I'm talking to you right now, it affects thousands around us. It creates a movement. One sheep breaks through, thousands rush through that same opening. One person breaks through the kingdom of heaven, thousands can go through that opening. Because repentance is a movement. It is individual, but it's got a communal dimension. And then finally, what is the result of all of this violence? What is the result of this violent action, this radical action? Healing. And not just a minor, minimal healing, a complete healing, a total transformation. If you look at what Christ says to the man, he says to him, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and walk." So the man is completely healed physically, but also spiritually. He says to him, "Your sins are forgiven you." So there's a total transformation. You could imagine, by all logic, that man that's being lowered through as he goes through into the house, that Christ should have just said to him, "Your sins are forgiven. That's fine. Your sins are forgiven, that's it." But Christ not only forgives when we radically and violently repent, he transforms. He not only gets rid of the sin and says, "I forget the sin, don't worry about it." He transforms and heals me completely. Enough that one person in that moment can enter the kingdom of heaven. Just like that. Christ, our God, makes the kingdom of God vulnerable for our sakes. But, to end, are we willing to take that risk? Are we willing to take that embarrassment, to take that effort of making a hole in the roof, of breaking through the roof, of lowering ourselves down with our filth, with our smell, with our paralysis? Embarrassment in front of thousands of people. Are we willing to take that risk? Because if we are willing to violently repent to the extent that we break through the kingdom of heaven, then actually when we do that, we start a movement in our own lives, and we perhaps can make an opening through which thousands, hundreds, at the very least our family, can enter through after us. Glory be to God.